Well, good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church. We're glad you're here to worship with us. If you haven't already, please take the red fellowship pad and pass it down the aisle so we'll have a record of your attendance here with us this morning. Just a few announcements this morning. Monday, the women's circle will meet, the morning circle will meet here at church, and the evening circle will meet at the home of Pat Argyrakis. Wednesday, we have family night supper, so don't forget to sign up. We're going to have a Bible study Wednesday night, and you can either fill out this pink form and stick it in the offering plate or call the church office. We are very glad to welcome Ed Butler to our pulpit this morning. Ed lives with his wife Margaret in Mint Hill, North Carolina, and Ed is going to be the leader of the team coming to visit with us in March for the lay renewal weekend. Speaking of lay renewal, I have a minute for lay renewal this morning. So by now, hopefully you're all aware of the fact that we're going to have a lay renewal. It's going to be on the weekend of March 13th through 15th. And another way to think about that weekend is that we're going to be having a celebration of faith. And as I've pondered what to say about the weekend for those of you who have never attended a lay renewal, the image of relationship has been haunting my thoughts, maybe because I knew the title of Ed's sermon this morning. Track with me here for just a minute, though, in thinking about that. All of us are in some kind of a relationship, parent, child, sibling, spouse or significant other, or friend. And no matter how easy that relationship is, no matter how comfortable it is, or how good it is, from time to time, it's good to spend some time thinking about that relationship and thinking about how wonderful it is to be in relationship with that person, how wonderful that person is. And times like that really are part of maintaining the intimacy of the relationship that you're in. So really, that's what we're inviting you to with the lay renewal. And we're all in relationship with God, and I'm sure that Ed is going to share a lot more about that with us this morning. But the lay renewal weekend is a time to just focus in on how wonderful it is that we've been called to faith in Jesus Christ. So in preparation for the weekend, we have a survey that you'll receive in email. If you don't like email and you want to come down to the church and fill it out on the church's computer, you can do that. Or if you prefer paper, we can provide that, if you'll just let Vicki know that you want a paper copy. The session encourages you to lift this special weekend up in prayer, that God would prepare your heart as an individual, our hearts as a congregation, to receive God's presence in however he wants to manifest it to us that weekend. Now I invite you to prepare your hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
Please join me in the responsive call to worship. Let us worship God, our light and our salvation. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in his holy temple. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Our hymn of praise is number 339, Be Thou My Vision. Please be seated. So, how'd it go for you guys last week? Did you have a great week? How was your behavior? Was it awesome? Was it perfect? Mine wasn't. And thanks be to God, we have an opportunity every day to confess our sins, and most especially as we begin the week in worship, we have the opportunity to confess our sins together. And I invite you to do that as we pray together the unison prayer of confession. And then we'll spend a few minutes where you can offer to God silently what lies hidden in your hearts. Let's pray together. Merciful God, you made us in your image with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconstant, our obedience incomplete. Day by day, we fail to grow into your likeness. In your tender love, forgive us. Let your Holy Spirit inspire and guide us into more faithful service and more loving relationship with others. Amen. Amen. Let's receive together the assurance of pardon. Take comfort in the assurance that even those things that are hidden from memory or are too deep for words are not beyond God's forgiving love. God, who knows us completely, bestows pardon and peace. Believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The children can come forward.
Good morning. Hey, James. Y'all know what this is, don't you?
Yes, we're feeding birds today. We're feeding birds today.
That's right, feeding birds, a bird feeder. Y'all got a bird feeder?
We used to.
You have one? Well, this one my brother-in-law gave me for Christmas, and it's a nice one. It's got these little discs here on top to keep the squirrels from getting at it. You know, I always have a problem with squirrels trying to eat the seed out of the bird feeder, and they light right here. The birds just love it. I put it up outside a bay window, and see, we have cardinals and chickadees and sparrows come. They just love it. But I've been wondering, tell me what you think. How much should I charge the birds for the bird seed?
Nothing.
Listen, that big bag of bird seed from Tractor Supply costs $20.
$20.
They owe me $20. They do. And they just eat it like crazy. I was thinking maybe charge each bird 10 cents a day, all you can eat. That sounds like a good deal, doesn't it? Now,
$1 a day for each bird.
No, you can't charge the bird. The bird seed is free. You know, it's just like God's love. It's there free all the time, every day. Whether you're a cardinal or a chickadee or a boy or a girl, God's love is free for the taking every single day. Another thing I notice when it gets down kind of low, you know, like right in here, the birds come out and they just flood all around like they're worried and scared. We're going to run out. We're going to run out of bird seed. But they don't have to worry. I've got it right outside the window and I keep an eye on it, and I'm going to fill it back up. They don't have to worry about the bird seed running out. And there again, that's just like God's love, isn't it? We don't have to worry about God's love running out. He's always there to give it out freely every single day. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the birds of the air. Thank you for that they don't worry because they know that you're going to provide for them and meet their every need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's pray together the unison prayer for illumination. Living God, let the light of your Holy Spirit illumine our minds to grasp your word. Let the warmth of your Holy Spirit make our hearts receptive to your presence. Let the wind of your Holy Spirit move our wills to choose your will. Amen. two verses to read to you this morning. The first is Luke 18, verse 17. Truly I tell you, Jesus says, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And from Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you for having me this morning. As Joyce said, I'm from Charlotte, or actually a little town called Mint Hill. And I was trying to think the last time I was in Danville, many years ago, and I don't remember how many years ago, I was part of a lay renewal weekend at a Methodist church in Danville. Is there a St. Matthias Methodist Church? I'm not sure why that name is in my head. But some years ago, it's been probably 12, 15 years ago. But it's good to be here. Thanks for having me. Well, God does call us all to life-changing relationships. And like so many of you, I've got to admit that many people have influenced my life. Pastors, teachers, friends, neighbors, my entire family, and many, many more. But I got to tell you that outside of my wife, outside of my family, no one has ever touched my life more than my very best good friend, Hank Hart. He died 18 years ago. In fact, 18 years ago this week. About a year after I met Hank, he was diagnosed with a class 4 malignant and inoperable tumor at the base of his brain stem. And he was given about 6 months to live. But our Lord, the great physician, he had different plans for Hank. God healed Hank, and he enjoyed really 6 pretty healthy years until the summer of 2000. And then the dormant remains of this tumor, about the size of an okra seed, began to grow again. And this time we just seemed to know that the end would come. And it did 18 months later, 18 months after another good friend and I prepared a breakfast feast one morning for Hank, and we took it to him, and we had a special time of food, fellowship, and prayer. Now, Hank and I had a life-changing relationship. It was a life-changing friendship. Christ was at the center of our friendship. And we kind of built each other up, and we recognized and acknowledged the very best in each other. And really, we had a humble friendship. Along with our brides, we came to realize that God was at work in our lives. And I'm going to tell you, Hank loved his family so very much. And he visited with his two granddaughters in Florida over Thanksgiving before he died early the next year. And when he came home, Hank called me up. He said, come see me, I want to talk to you. And he told me two things. He said he was going to return to Florida at Christmas to see those two granddaughters, as he knew that would be his last time. And he also told me, he said, Ed, I want you to speak at my funeral in a few weeks, which turned out to be a very special celebration of really his influential and his very special life. And Hank directed me to share about the depth of our friendship. And as I look back, I was very, very honored to speak at his service. It was one of the most humbling experiences in all my life. So this morning, I want to share with you what made our friendship so special, and also what made our relationship life-changing. But first, there are two questions I want you to think about for a few minutes. And these two questions will help you understand why our relationship was special and life-changing. So the first question, who prayed for you this morning? Who prayed for you this morning? Serious question. Who prayed for you this morning? And then my next question. Who did you pray for this morning? So who prayed for you this morning? And who did you pray for this morning? So Hank and I, we prayed for each other daily. And many members of my church family met Hank when he came to share his testimony. Some of our men knew him through his visits to our monthly prayer breakfast. And a few of them came to know him through Kairos Prison Ministry. And those who knew Hank know the comfort and the strength I gained just knowing that this special and humble servant prayed for me. Hank took time to pray. For him, it was the highest priority. And he and I often spoke about the about our mutual belief that to pray for someone was to be in the center of God's will. And Hank's prayers were so humble and so powerful. I never will forget my daughter's first day of college classes in 2001, her sophomore year. My wife and I received my wife received a phone call from a stranger. And all he said was, "I have your daughter." Now imagine that. "I have your daughter," click. So Margaret tried calling our daughter's apartment and her cell phone, but there were no answers. And they had talked earlier that morning, so my wife knew she had been okay. So then Margaret called me. And honestly, at the beginning, I could not even understand her. She was so upset. There were some people in my office, and I rushed them out of my office so I could really listen to my wife. And when I finally began to understand, she told me what had happened. So I told her to call police and that I would leave immediately for out at UNC Charlotte. So police officers came to our home, along with our son Adam and our minister and other friends. Additional police were sent to Anna's apartment and to her and out to the campus. And then I headed out there. And as I drove, I called campus security. I said, "Make me a parking space. I'll be there in 5-10 minutes. And then I called Hank. And I called Hank because I knew that he would calm me, he would assure me, and he would be praying earnestly that my daughter would be okay. And in my mind, I could clearly see Hank sitting in his red wingback chair with his head bowed, pleading with God to protect my child. As I look back, I'm not sure it ever really hit me that Anna could be gone. I was unusually calm. And out at the campus that day, security officers met me, and we went immediately to the director's office. And he sent officers up to Anna's classroom. And she was there. She was in class. The whole thing had been a hoax, by a very, very cruel hoax from a very cruel person. And so when I called Hank back, he was so relieved. And as I think back, I remember the shock on my daughter's face. I remember my joy in just knowing that she was okay and how absolutely wonderful it was to hug my daughter once they brought her down to the director's office. But I also think of Hank. And I think of Hank because when you were on his prayer list, and you've got friends like this, when you were on his prayer list, your concern was in front of the master. No doubt. Your concern was in front of the master. So every occasion, I don't mean occasionally, and I don't even mean on most occasions, but on every occasion I had to be with Hank or to even talk with him by telephone, I was moved into a closer walk and a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And how is that, you might ask? Well, to know this godly man as I did was to know the Father. He mirrored Christ. Jesus Christ was in his countenance. He literally shined through Hank's face. And Jesus Christ spoke to me and ministered to me through Hank. And Jesus Christ extended grace through Hank. And Jesus Christ came to me in a renewal, really a fresh anointing through my friend. And as I look back, it really is amazing how God worked to put us together. We were an unlikely pair. I worked in sales and management, oversaw a large staff. I worked to meet a substantial payroll and had numerous budgets to meet. I traveled extensively and I met tons and tons of obligations. My mind was busy, my mind raced all the time. Hank worked production in a brake manufacturing plant. And I tell you this not to diminish what Hank did or to kind of elevate what I did, but just to show the contrast that work-wise, we had very, very little in common. My prayer life at that time was minimal at best. Hank's was extremely active. I mean, he was totally dependent upon the Lord for each breath, for each moment, for each day. I lacked humility. I claimed credit for victories, and I was proud of what I had accomplished. I worked hard and I soaked up the praise. Hank gave God all the credit. He modeled humility. And perhaps the biggest difference, and the one thing I gained from my friendship with Hank, was that in the grip of death for all those years, his life beautifully displayed the quality of simple, childlike faith. The scripture just talked about it in Luke 18:17. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. Hank's relationship with God was not cluttered with the things that so many of us allow to prevent the intimacy that God desires. I, and perhaps some of you, am prone to be maybe a little bit too tough-minded or too sophisticated or too hard-hearted or too business-like or too image-conscious to be childlike in our faith. But yet, as children, without the complexities that we allow to get in the way is how we really come to know God. It's how we come to know God. Hank personified this special grace of childlike faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, his Christ-like characteristics drew me to him. Christ drew Hank to me. He lived his daily life as if Christ was with him all the time. And you know, I've grown to realize that he was indeed with Hank all the time. I love that guy. He was a special, special guy. And I miss him. But our Lord calls each one of us into life-changing relationships of spiritual significance where we can receive one-on-one attention and where we can give one-on-one attention. You've got a wonderful church, and God is certainly at work right here in your midst. You've got small groups, you've got choir and Sunday school and Bible studies. Even committees are a ministry. Men's ministry, women's ministry, the list goes on and on. And many of you are part of these great ministries. But I want to ask each of you, are you as close to Christ as he wants you to be? Are you as close to Christ as he wants you to be? And are you as close to him as you really want to be? Think about that. So let me tell you, what may be missing is a life-changing relationship or two of real spiritual significance. You know, you might say, well, I'm just too busy for that. Well, sometimes we kind of overcommit ourselves and we become so busy doing the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. Sometimes we need a little more Mary time and a little less Martha time. It takes a commitment. It takes time. It takes a commitment of time. So let's look at how Jesus Christ used so much of his limited time here on earth. She read the scripture a while ago in Mark 1:35. Listen, this is Jesus Christ we're talking about here. He said, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place to pray. That's what Jesus did. He went out to a deserted place to pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, he had a special relationship with his Father, with our Father. So my friends, if what you gain from this relationship I've been talking about, this life-changing relationship, is anything near what I gained, it will make such a difference in your life. And perhaps the difference will be eternal. You may feel inferior, as if you have little to offer. Well, spiritually speaking, Hank offered so much more than I did. But I want to read to you just a few words from a note that Hank sent to my wife and me just a few days before he died. He tucked it into a little book on prayer. And his words were this. He said, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am sitting outside in a lawn chair admiring God's beautiful gift of nature and its magnificence as I write this letter. I was thinking about the gift of nature. I started thinking of God's gifts to us, of neat friendships that he has bestowed on all of his children. And you guys came to my mind instantly. I really do thank God for bringing us together. And I hope this letter finds you both happy and at peace. Thank you so much for the cards, the calls, the gifts, the visits. They are really special and mean so much to me. Jesus loves us so much. Hank." So sometimes you never really know what touches someone. Sometimes you just don't know. So let me tell you, there is somebody in this church that needs your encouragement. There is somebody here today that needs what only you can do or what only you can give. And there's probably somebody here today that needs to hear about Christ from you, not from the pastor, but from you. They need to see his compassion and experience his grace through you. So look around the church and answer God's call. You may say, well, I just have too many problems to bring to a relationship with somebody else. And I would say, well, we all have problems. And God could change our problems, but normally he changes us. He puts people into our lives often to show us the way. And others, I believe, so that we can share the ways of Christ with them. He offers us grace so much greater than our problems. And he offers us grace in spite of our problems. So God uses willing people who say yes to his call. Now, as I think back, Hank has been dead for 18 years, but I still think of him often. And I've come to realize that with Hank, it was all about joy, Christian joy. And this joy is rooted in a relationship with God that kind of overflows into our daily lives. It affects the church. It affects all those around us. And I think it is very, very important to Jesus Christ. You know, a joyful heart kind of shines the truth of what we believe to the world. It matters. Christians, I mean, we're not immune to hardships and trials and suffering. However, we experience them a little bit different than others do. I'm still amazed at the hope that this guy found even in the darkness of death. It is an eternal perspective I pray that I will experience one day. You know, I'm reminded of the words of 1 Peter 3:15, where he instructed us to honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. My friends, we can mourn circumstances that are hard and at the same time rejoice in our God who works all things for good. And that was my friend Hank. Who knows who Johnny Erickson Tata is? Johnny Erickson Tata. Nobody knows who Johnny Erickson Tata is. Johnny, or some people would say Joni, but her dad wanted a boy, so he called her Johnny. She came to prominence in the 60s and 70s, speaking at Billy Graham Crusades. She's been paralyzed from the neck down since a diving accident when she was 17 years old. And now at the age of 70, she is suffering from her second bout of cancer. She's an accomplished author. You buy any book by Johnny Erickson Tata and you'll thank me for it. She's an artist. She draws with her mouth. She is a singer. And she's the founder and leader of Johnny and Friends, an international ministry that distributes new and refurbished wheelchairs all around the world to people who need them. In one of her books, she describes those who suffer in profound ways yet still have hope and joy as spectacles of glory. Spectacles of glory. She says they're like the burning bush that Moses saw and was confused by. How could the bush be on fire and yet not be consumed? She says the bush was a spectacle of glory, something that made you turn and look in wonder. So Johnny explains that Christians who suffer faithfully shine the light of Christ in a way that is perplexing to the watching world. You know, most people simply don't understand how a person could be joyful, patient, and kind in the midst of such hardship. The truth is, suffering opens us up to be a spectacle of glory so others can see the beauty of Christ in us. It demonstrates that we have something greater than this world. We have Jesus. We have Jesus. And we can proclaim as the psalmist did in Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." My friends, God calls each of us, to make a difference. Hank made a huge difference in my life. He was a spectacle of glory. And because he made a difference in my life, I've had the privilege and honor of helping to make a difference in the lives of my family, my friends, and so many more. God is calling each of you to make a difference, to be a Christian influence, to pray for others, to help wherever you can and whenever you can. God is calling each of us to stop and to listen to him and to let him guide each and every one of us to that place and to that person of love and compassion. This, my friends, is my prayer for each one of you. And it is with this hopeful and prayerful spirit that our team from three states prepares to come to be with you in a few weeks. And they're just simple lay people, just like me. They're retired choral directors. Former beauty queen. A great singer or two is coming. The former city executive of the Chamber of Commerce here in Danville is going to be with us that weekend. Just people like you and me are coming to share with you about their faith journey. And we all struggle. You know, we all have hardships and trials and difficulties. But they're just coming to share their Christian journey. We have one man who's a recovered drug addict. You never know it, but he's been in the gutter. He's coming to share that weekend. Special stories from everyday lay people. So may God richly bless your prayerful planning, all the traveling witnesses I just told you about, and each of you as you prayerfully prepare your hearts for this special time with Him. Amen.
Let's stand together and say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our hymn of response is Sweet Hour of Prayer, and you have it as an insert in your bulletin.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we are gathered once again with gratitude for all of your blessings and the great goodness that you have showered upon us and upon the world. With joy and wonder, we lift our voices in song to you for the gifts of life, the comfort of family and friends, and the abiding support of Christian fellowship. Hear our thankful songs, and let your spirit continue to enrich all of these treasured relationships. Eternal God, your kingdom is within, among, and yet always beyond us. Yet Jesus taught us the surprising way that your rule is in our lives and in the world. The kingdom's like a mustard seed, like yeast rising in the loaf, like a pearl hidden in a country field. Help us to seek your kingdom first, even as it so often slips from our eyes and we are quick to fall into the tired patterns of the world, give us new vision to see things according to the light of your kingdom. Help us, no matter our age and experience in life, to embrace your kingdom as a child. Then may the life-giving ways of your kingdom bring your Spirit's fullness into the relationships of our lives. Gracious God, hear our prayers for those both near and far. Add your blessings to all those on our prayer list and grant to each what is most needed at this time. Be with all who are on our hearts and minds. Help us in the challenges and struggles that are unique to each one of us. Hear our prayers for this often contentious world. We pray for all those who day after day work to be good neighbors and seek to build up the communities in which they live and live lives of service to others. Bless all these efforts to sow faith, hope, and love. Covenant God, we give you thanks for Ed being with us here this morning and the word that he shared with us. We pray that you would be with him and his lay renewal team as they prepare to share a weekend with us in March. Let your Spirit be with this congregation so that this special time will be a blessing to this church, so that it may be strengthened to be a blessing to the city of Danville and beyond. Now we join in prayer, taught us by Christ our Lord, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now with gladness, let us bring the offerings of our life and labor to the Lord. Let us pray. Ever-present God, with this offering we present also ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, and our resolve to walk in your way. Accept us in this offering, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Our final hymn is number 525, Here I Am, Lord.
I am.
Friends, as you go into this new week, go trusting that Christ goes before you to prepare the way for you. And he goes behind you to nudge you in the way of faith. He goes beside you to befriend you and to accompany you along life's way. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.